نبتدي يعني. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Someone here asked me like a year or two to talk about laziness, and I was lazy to actually prepare this topic, so I kept running away from it. And then they asked me a month ago, and I said, sure, finally the time for me to learn about my laziness. Then I heard also, before the meeting starts, a comment that came from someone saying, what laziness got to do with a spiritual life? And that shows that sometimes we think of laziness as it's a behavior thing more than a spiritual problem. So we'll take an idea and just see what's involved with laziness and how does it affect our spiritual life. I just looked for the definition, what is it? And it says it's a quality of being unwilling to work or use any energy. So basically, no interest to do anything. And it's something, it's unwilling. So it's something we could, but we don't want it to. It is not like, it's by choice, more or less. We'll see what the Bible says about it, because like I said, some people think it's not really, it's a social, not social, but a behavior more than a spiritual. But it's not, there's so many verses in the Bible about it. This first one is the parable of the talent, and we all heard this parable before, that the master gave each one a talent. And if you don't understand what it is, a talent, because sometimes just looks to us like someone has some money and you got like $1,000, $100, $200, and you're supposed to invest it, but it's not like that. God gave each one of us a gift, and that's what's called talent. It could be music, it could be wisdom, it could be you're smart enough to learn something to benefit mankind from it. So each one supposed to take this talent and use it for the glory of God. And many of us don't think this way. Like sometimes we choose career and life, things like this, but the goal always is it for the glory of God or not? Is everything I do for the glory of God or not? If I open a business, is it for the glory of God or not? As you know, I have a business in explosive disposal. How this can be for the glory of God? Maybe the type of business itself, yes, you're not gonna benefit from blowing something up, but what I use the business, inside the business, the people I work with, maybe then it can be used for the glory of God. Who are you dealing with? One of you can read maybe this.
And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. There you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. So take the talent from him and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness.
One of the servants took the talent and hid the talent, doesn't want to do anything with it. And this is the unwilling. He doesn't want to, invest the talent. And then the Lord told him, yeah, you are wicked and lazy servant. So it is something that we all deal with. Some of us have this gift, and either we don't want to acknowledge it. We think little of ourselves, and we don't try it. Like some people still try to find their talent until late age, like it could be 50 or 60, but still at least they're searching. But some people believe, I have no talent. I don't have any gift. Sometimes the gift is there, but you don't see it because you're looking for something big. You're looking for talent of, the five talents, not two or one. So that's something in the Bible. This one in the book of the Song of Songs, it's also talking about, some laziness. It shows about God is trying to reach each one of us and in one way or another, and it's us who are turning away from him out of laziness. And in this example is clearly out of laziness. So he came to the bride of the Song of Songs. It's a book in the Bible. Some of you don't know it, maybe. Sometimes they call it the Song of Solomon. Nasheed al-Anshad. So, and it's misunderstood, this book, but he is talking about the human soul. We call it the bride. And he is talking to the bride, and he's telling her, he's knocking on her door, and he's knocking on every one of us. Is like, don't take it as just a story in the Bible. Think as like, take it personal. He's knocking on our door and saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one, for my head covered with dew. So that means he is encouraging us. Sometimes we don't even have these qualities, but he is trying to help us to see ourselves. And he is waiting outside to the point that he is getting, like, you know, his head is covered in dew, he's getting wet, because it means he is waiting for a long time, knocking on the door, and no one wants to open. Then the bride of the in the Song of Songs said, I have taken off my robe, how can I put it on again? Very lame excuse, as if it's something very difficult. But that's what we said in the beginning, it's a definition of laziness, is unwilling to do something. I have washed my feet, how can I defile them? Then eventually God will keep knocking, but sometimes he has to leave to give us, sometimes you feel that God left us, like the prodigal son, for example, the father left the son, don't want to say to suffer, but to learn from his lesson, and this was the only way for the son to come back. So sometimes God does this with us. Then finally the bride in the Song of Songs wake up and decide, like, you know, okay, now I want to go and see where is God. Sometimes it will be too late. Then I arose to open for my beloved, and it's my beloved. So that means it's me and you who are in the church today. We have relationship with Christ. So the same for her. She knows that's my beloved. She knows his voice. And saying, but my beloved has turned away and was gone. My heart leaped up when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. So this is shows a clear case of laziness, and it can lead to something really bad. You're looking for Christ, and you don't find him. Obviously, with repentance, you will find him immediately. But this is it shows how laziness can affect our spiritual life. Like we said, it's not something like about behavior. It's in the Bible in so many places. In the book of Proverbs alone, there's over 30 verses condemning laziness. And if you notice, Pope Tawadros, since he became Pope, he always advised to read this book on a daily basis. And he said every day if you take a chapter, like if it's today is the 27th of October and you want to start, read chapter 27, tomorrow 28, and so on, and keep repeating it. Because this book is different than any other book in the Bible. It teaches you how to live everyday's life, how to deal with friends, how to deal with difficult people, how to deal with every human being, and it's a useful book. I personally read it so many times because I benefit, and every time, and there is things that you don't understand in it, like sometimes, anyways, I don't want to go talk about the book itself, but you should try to read it, and it's not difficult. We'll take a few verses out of the 30, like maybe 5 or something. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put forced to labor. So what that means? It means that the diligent man, he will be, or the person, he will rule means he is, he will be, nobody will rule over him, basically. He will be in a charge. Doesn't mean, and that could be in a spiritual life, and it could be even in your normal life. Versus the lazy man will be put forced to labor, and basically he will work for someone else. He will not be in control of his own life because he is basically lazy and he couldn't do much. And diligent man here, it doesn't mean just in regular life, work. Like sometimes we talk about laziness, it's about work. But it could be also about, like as we said, the spiritual life. And this one here, for example, go to the ant, you slugger, consider it, its ways, and be wise. In here, what we learn, first of all, it's sad that you know Solomon asking us to learn from ant. And that's sadly after human fall that we were talking to God directly, talking, like learning from him directly, and our humanity went down so much that some of the, you know, animals and creeping things doing better than us, and you can see that sometimes in if you have a dog. I never had a dog in my life, never cared for them, and then you know, 6 months ago, Mina got one, and we now worship the dog because we feel it's unreal. It's like as if it's a human, so much love and like real, you feel they're genuine. And I feel in a case like this, he's asking us to learn from the ant. What does the ant do? Does anybody know that we should learn from the ant? What does it do? Yes. True. What else? Exactly. So it knows that there is, one day will be a bad day, no food. Now I have the energy, and instead of sitting down and be lazy, let's collect food and put it aside for the bad day. So he's asking us to learn from an ant and not to be lazy. Pope Shenouda was saying, one time I was sitting in my cell in the monastery doing my psalms, and I see a group of ants, and one of them is trying to have like a something, like carrying something, and trying to climb, and it climbs maybe an inch or two, and then it falls again. And I said, then I see it just doesn't even think, just climbs again, and it falls. And I did this like 4 or 5 times. I said, I left my psalms and just was waiting to learn, see how the ant is going to behave. And I did it like 7 or 8 times until it reached the goal. And obviously, we don't do that. We always quit too fast. What time do we finish? So I don't take too much. 10 or before? 10? Okay. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. So another verse that it's like, you know, it's too cold outside. And sure, but, you know, it's your choice, but eventually he will be hungry. When it's a time to harvest, you didn't plant anything. So this is, it shows another thing that, and the same way with the spiritual, if you take this verse and try to apply it spiritually, when you have the health and you can do some matanya, for example, when you don't want to do it because, you know, you don't feel like it, you're unwilling, then when the time comes and you are 60 and 60 or 70 and you feel you can't do matanya, you wish you did it when you were young. The same thing with fasting and other things. So don't take it always, it's all about work or something like that. The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Same idea, you know, you desire, the lazy will desire, he will have the opportunity to read the word of God, and he wouldn't. But the rich, he will be diligent, shall be made rich. Rich in a spiritual way as well. Of course, you can take it, you know, to the letter, and if someone work hard, someone is diligent in everything he does, he can reach whether it's a good position, good career, or something like this. And Saint Paul also tried to confirm the same thing when he said, "If anyone would not work, neither should he eat." And I know some of the in the churches, but I can't remember where was it, in Africa or somewhere, they have this a sign somewhere. So. Because people misunderstand the church so much, but this is what St. Paul is saying as well, so we have to be careful. The lazy get lazier, so it doesn't end. It is not like, I'm lazy. This verse, I keep reading it, and just imagine someone, it says, the lazy man buries his hand in a bowl, it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. So imagine someone to the point is, he is trying, like a start to eat, but he's so lazy to feed himself. And this also, you can take it with a spiritual way, which is, you have your youth days. There, we did a whole topic about a verse in the Proverbs as well. It says, remember the Lord, your creator, in the days of your youth. Because this is the best days you can build a good spiritual life that will last you for a long time. So the same thing is, someone has the word of God in front of him, he can reach it, but he's just lazy. And so this is becomes a lifestyle. So the laziness, it's like a cancer. Because if I commit a big sin, like adultery, lust, lying, judging someone, I know I feel bad if I judge someone by the end of the day. I feel I shouldn't have talked about this person this way. But with laziness is like that. We don't feel it's a big sin at all. We feel, you know, I didn't come to the youth meeting tonight. What's the big deal? Like, you know, really, I will never feel guilty if I didn't come to the youth meeting. If Merit asked me to do the topic today and I said, sorry, Merit, I'm really busy. And okay, I will never feel guilty, but slowly becomes a trend. Slowly becomes, lazy, and it leads to something serious. So that's important to know. The Lord, a couple of times, he asked the disciples to stay up and pray for their own good, and he comes back and he finds them asleep, and he tells them again, can you please, you know, watch and pray? And basically the word watch and pray, if you translate this to be, do not be lazy. That's what it means. So he is asking us not to be lazy and watch and pray, because it's important. This sin doesn't come by itself. I mean, sorry, it doesn't come alone. It's just a beginning for other things. So imagine if I start to be lazy and I'm sitting at home, then I have lots of time in my hand. How do I kill the time? My mind will start to wander, and it will lead to other sins. So that's important as well. Sometimes, if someone is struggling with a certain sins, then normally the way to examine why you're getting these thoughts is by looking at how is your day going? What do you do during the day? And if you find yourself you don't have much, then this is why you are, you know, struggling with this sin. If you are actually keeping yourself busy, you don't have time to sin. You don't have time for your mind to wander around, because you just back to back, you have so many things to do. So normally this will lead to other sins as well. I always thought that idle mind is the devil's, an idle mind is a devil workshop as a verse, but I couldn't find it as a verse. But I learned it, you know, a long time ago that it is. I found this verse that an ungodly man digs up evil, which is basically, if I'm sitting idle, my brain is just let the devil do whatever he wants with it, give you ideas. You start to think, you know, why Abuna did this today? Why the deacons took so long to say this hymn? Who cares about this hymn? We're in North America, we're not in Egypt. You know, why my boss is so evil, and why he treats me this way, and not knowing that it's me, I am the lazy one, and he's trying to give me a message. So if I'm sitting idle, like my brain is idle, and it gets worse and worse, I'm just giving you very light examples, but definitely, it gets worse than this. Combining laziness with free time and food as well becomes a disaster. We take example Noah, for example. He was building the ark for 100 years, so busy, doesn't have time to sin. God gave him a plan, build the ark, so big, so long, do this, do that. He was doing it. He was a symbol of Christ. He built the first church. He saved his own family and saved us. We say you are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, but really it's more like Noah, because they perished and he was the only family left, and we came from his descendants. Then once he finished and built the ark and he went to rest, now the trouble starts. So he started to plant some grapes and take it, squeeze it, ferment it, drink, get naked, and gets in trouble. So someone, a saint like this, working 100 years, never fell in a sin like this, and all of a sudden, just because he has the time in his hand, got in trouble. You find someone like King David, for example. He was always the first one in battles. He was always in the front line. He wrote the Psalms. He would stay late and pray and so on, and he adjusted his heart to be according to God's heart. You know, God said, I found David's heart according to my heart. Someone with that spiritual level falls in a horrible sin and commit adultery, and I think he had like 7 wives. And this also important to know that purity start before you even get married. If someone think I'm immune now because I got married, no. So you practice purity before you get married, and here is a clear example of what King David did. He had 7 wives, but yet he had time in his hand and doesn't know how to kill the time, so he took a walk on the roof of his house. He see this lady taking a bath, and he called her, commit adultery with her. So all the start was just slacking off, and you get in trouble. Any questions so far? I keep talking too much. I'm not giving you a chance to ask anything. Don't be shy. All right. Causes of laziness. Sometimes we understand God's love the wrong way. Like my son, like, you know, Andrew knows his dad. He's an angel. He's never going to be, like, you know, give him, no matter what he does, his dad will forgive him. That's sometimes we do that. And we abuse God's love so much that it's not for our best interest to continue this way. Some people also wanted to live like the right thief, who say, why I don't do like him, live all my life the way I like it, and in the last minute I get saved and go to heaven. First, this was his only chance to repent and go to heaven, but for us, we have so many chances. But this is his. If you know when you're gonna die, sure, he can abuse, the relationship with God. But this is doesn't work this way. Think of Jesus Christ himself when he walked by the fig tree and he found that has no fruit in it. He cursed the tree and the tree died. So don't abuse God's love too much. Procrastination. We always can delay things. We can, let's go to church next week. There's no problem. You know, let's start have a prayer, something that you do routinely, later. So we always, delay, postpone everything. But again, we cannot postpone the day we're gonna leave this world. So if we know, definitely I'll make use of it, but I don't know when I'm going to go, so I have to prepare for this day. Excuses all the time. Let's pray the Agbeya. I don't understand the Psalms. I don't know what King David is talking about, a dog of some sort. We hear it during the Holy Week. I don't understand it. I come to church. Once I finish my master's, I have exams. It's more very important. I'm focused on my career right now. Many of the youth, I don't know if, once they start to their careers, they actually feel like, the church is secondary. I have to excel. I have to do well in my career. And it's far from the truth, because if God's blessing is not there, I'm sure you will succeed still if you're being honest and diligent and everything else. But the blessing will get you definitely a lot more than what you can get in your own hand. So, all these excuses, that causes laziness for sure. Can someone read this? This is an invitation that Christ.
A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." Still another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come."
So, rest of the story that, the master invite other people and so on. So, that's why, he's not doing this because he is in need of us. He's in need of our salvation. He wants to save us. But if we refuse and each one of us comes with an excuse, then it's us who are losing. So, and it seems like it's familiar. He gave us this example to know that this is happening all the time. We can't use this as an excuse. I can't use exams, work. I understand that sometimes you can't for a short period of time, but there is no way that I say once I finish work, I will be able to serve. We will never serve. It's impossible. I would rather serve. Like sometimes we have youth wanted to serve, but they're actually busy, especially the people in middle school. And I ask them to serve at least once a month, if they can commit to once a month. This way, then they are doing their best, and also they take the blessing, but they're really busy, but still the once a month they take it and they actually commit to it. So try something like this, because nothing easier than excuses. This one, the lazy man says there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. There's always fun excuses, like it's never end, and it's not even real excuses. This is just an example. You know, sometimes if we have, you know, church, oh, it's minus 25 outside, I don't want to come. And we always find excuses, but nothing easier than this. Friendship, obviously, if my friends are, you know, tend to be a bit lazy, and basically I will be doing the same thing as them. And one lazy person can affect the group. And as they say, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And nothing more accurate than this statement. So keep that in mind as well. Dangerous of laziness. First thing, you can fall into lukewarm. So basically, you get into the stage that lazy, you don't want to go to church, you don't want to read the Bible, and slowly your heart hardened. So you no longer feel guilty, or not guilty, but you don't feel any more bad about not going to church. It's becoming like, I live in Canada now, that's the norm. And I see it often. I see very good Canadian people that I really, pray for, and I love them so much. And one of them, we went once for lunch. He's 70, and it was on a Friday. And I told him what you're going to order, and he said fish. Of course, fish. And I was just like, why? Of course, fish. Oh, when I was young, my parents told me no meat on Friday, and he's in his 70s. But if I look at his life, he doesn't practice anything in his, any of the Christian values that he learned. Because with the time, he told me, I had three choices. I had to make two: career, family, a church. I had to choose two out of three because it was impossible to do all the three. So I chose my career and my family. So that's like with the time from laziness, you get that your heart becomes hardened, and nobody cares about eternal life anymore, as if it doesn't exist. But yet, if you ask people, we do a survey, random survey, do you believe there is heaven and hell? And they would say, 80% would say yes. So if it's yes, why are you not planning for it? Nobody knows that answer to that question. And the Lord said in the book of the Revelation that because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And, you know, I always read this verse and say, wouldn't it be better off that I'm lukewarm than cold? I understand hot is the best, some, you know, have a spiritual life. But the idea is, if you're cold, it's worse. In theory, it's worse than lukewarm. But it's actually good, because you know you're a sinner, you know you live in sin, so you have at least the thought of repenting. But if I am lukewarm, it's kind of, yeah, I come to church, so I have this band-aid that make me feel that I don't need to do anything. But if someone completely away from the church, if you call it cold, then he always in his mind that I want to go back, I want to repent. Laziness can lead to depression. Some people think sitting at home, relaxing, doing nothing is a good thing, and I wish I can do that. No, it is not. God created us that we actually, once we are result-oriented, no matter what it is, the result, work, study, church, service, once you do that, you feel you accomplish something, that it actually help you to be, not to get depressed. But sitting at home will definitely, with the time, will lead to depression. Of course, you know, dangerous of laziness, that, you know, there will be the sins of the thoughts. So that also comes the same idea as idle mind will be the devil workshop. How to fight laziness? I'll take like a few and then we're done. To know that laziness is a serious sin and is not something small. We said it's a cancer. As C.S. Lewis was saying, you know, the sure way to hell is the steep, the gradual way. So it's a slowly, something slow. Because if the devil comes to you with a big sin, you wouldn't do it. But if it's something slow, then will lead to the big sin eventually. And we pray in a compliant prayer, saying, therefore arise from the slumber of laziness and entreat the Savior, repenting and saying, have mercy on me and save me. So this is something to know for sure that would help. Forcing myself, hayat al-taghassub, this is extremely important. Sometimes I feel, oh, I can't. No, you know, if sometimes you want to sleep, but if, you know, if you try to force yourself a bit, then it works. Just to, sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves. I don't want to force myself. So I have to put some, you know, kanun ruhi, like, you know, a rule, a spiritual rule. Like, I have to pray this, I have to pray that. Even if, you know, don't put something big. You can do it with your father of confession, but you have to stick to these rules. You can't do too much as well, because that's too much, and then you will be good for a month, then you drop it again. But, you know, little permanent, better than many and interrupted. You need to put short and term and long-term goals. For example, like, you know, long-term goals, I want to read the Bible, even if it from, you know, from the cover to cover. First time I read the Bible from cover to cover, it took me 3 years, but I insist to finish it. I don't care how long it will take, I have to finish it. It took me 3 years. So put something, a long-term goal. So every time you have time in your hand and you know that you are behind in your goal, then you at least you have something in the back of your mind tells you, oh, I haven't read the Bible for a month, I'm so behind. I was supposed to finish it in a year and now it's 3 years. You know, but the short-term goal is like, you know, if we are in during Lent or you put a book of Isaiah that you want to read it and understand it. So every day you take a chapter and understand it as well. So those goals make you feel you're busy. You have something to do. You have to accomplish something. You have to memorize this hymn. You have to memorize one or two psalms. So these goals would help also to fight laziness. Surround yourself with, you know, good friends. As we said before, it makes a huge difference. If you have some that are not good friends, then it will affect you. And St. Paul was saying the same thing, as bad company corrupts good characters. So really keep that in mind as well. If all of this doesn't work with you, you need to kind of fear yourself. Like, do something that could shock you to make you fear God. The healthy way still. So, because we tend to fear, you know, people, work, you know, anyone else except God. And, you know, we even when the church tell us worship God in fear and trembling, we take it as it's a great opportunity to sit down and catch up on my email or something during those 2 minutes. So we need to keep that in mind as well. There is a verse that says, or do you despise the riches of the goodness and that... knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So basically, this is what we said in the beginning. We abuse God's love, and here he's saying he is giving you that opportunity. Every time we sin and commit a bad sin, he doesn't strike you dead from heaven with a lightning, you know, and he is giving you this chance. But St. Paul is warning us, saying, you know, being, you know, patient with you so it can lead you to repentance, but not to abuse this love. And this verse, it's hard to read it, but it's, you know, cursed be the one who does the Lord's work negligently. So, mal'oon man ya'mal 'amala rabb barakhawa. So imagine now is not, sometimes we don't even want to do what he asks us to do, whether it's service or anything else. Imagine if you do it, but yeah, just you do it with being careless. It's actually a very tough verse. Sometimes people get into depression, and you know, it's so their laziness is coming out of something. It is not being careless. They're just actually in depression, so they need to give themselves some hope. Because that can get them out of this laziness. So you need to know if you are lazy, or we are all lazy at some point, but we just were talking about someone is like really lazy. To see if, you know, we need, because some people perish because of the, you know, they have no hope and or abuse the fear of, will have no fear from God. As the book says, At-tariq al-wusta khallas kasirin. It's one of the fathers, actually. It's not a verse. The middle way saved many. So keep that in mind as well. This is the last slide, and we're done. Saints' stories. If you remember, someone like Pope Crollus used to do liturgy every day. So how can he fall into laziness? He has something to do every day. He's looking forward to it. If you see Pope Shenouda, he used to give out of his need of his health. He would be in the hospital, and just released from the hospital, he would go to the service. This picture was one of his last sermon. He was dying. Like, he had a few days left, and he was still serving to the last minute. So if you look at, and I'm not giving you saints, people that, 100 or 1,000 years ago, we're talking about people that some of us lived during their time. So these stories shows us that we want to be like them. It gives us this this feeling versus the laziness. And this is what I have to say for you. Glory be to God. Reverend. Do you have any questions? Sorry, I didn't hear you well.
Sure. It's loud. So in terms of the issue of laziness, that is a sin, do you think that by us being Christian and virtue of us being Christian, is there anything specifically with laziness that we have to deal with, or any specific issues that we have to deal with that those who maybe aren't as religious or don't have faith don't have to approach?
The question is, if you are Christian, you are dealing with certain laziness different than other people that they're not spiritual or not Christian.
Go to the hospitals and visit the sick are most of the time a Christian or there's some other religion. I don't think people who are atheists necessarily do all the things that Christians do, so.
No, but even, this is a good answer, but the way I also understand your question is, let's say struggling with the same things I'm struggling, because always we have to understand, as the Bible said, that Satan is our enemy and he's a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So basically, I don't like to talk about them and us, but if someone living in sin, whether, assume he's not Christian, but we are Christian, sometimes live in sin as well, he's not tempted anymore because he's living in the sin. The devil will not try to come and tempt him, but he comes and see you coming to church and that bothers him so much because you're condemning him. He fell as an angel. So for you, as someone who that God works, want to fall into sin. We've seen this story with Job, that Satan came in front of the Lord and said, "Let me, he worship you because you give him everything, but unleash me and let me show you what I'll do to him." But Job passed that exam. So I feel we are tempted more, if you would say. Any other questions? I don't know if that answered your question, though. That? Okay.